I'm all about the good vibes, the good vibes. We bout to have a good time, a good time. Leave my problems all behind, all behind. We living out the good life, the good life, yeah. I ain't gotta worry about a thing.
Oh no.
Had some obstacles I overcame.
Oh yeah.
You don't have to ever be the same.
Oh lord.
Cause when we change the mind, we change the game.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Kenny Clutch, with another episode on the Clutch Vision Podcast. I got another very special guest in the building tonight, all the way from the Dirty Jersey, my hometown, my main man. Yo, this guy is going to inspire y'all like crazy. He has an amazing story, you know, former football player, now keynote speaker, and just inspiring the world. My man, Eric LeGrand. What's going on, big boy?
What's going on, Kenny? I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, man, I appreciate you coming on, man. So how's, first and foremost, how's the family doing during the whole quarantine?
Everyone's healthy, thank God. You know, it's rough when you got, you know, I rely on my family a lot in my situation. So, you know, it's hard, you know, that I can't see them all the time and be with them. But thank God we all are healthy and keeping safe.
Facts, man. Facts, brother. So, yeah, man, let's just jump right into it. You know, so for those that don't know who Eric LeGrand is, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about you and what your some of your goals are right now?
Yeah, so I'm a former Rutgers football player who had a spinal cord injury back in 2010 at MetLife Stadium, running down the field to make a tackle in the fourth quarter. And I broke my neck and became paralyzed. And the doctors told me I had a 0 to 5% chance of ever walking again. Mm. They told me that I would never breathe on my own, never eat solid foods. And they were hoping that I was going to be able to even make it through the surgery. And through the grace of God and my sheer will and determination, I've been able to bounce back. 5 weeks later, I was breathing on my own. Mm. I got hurt on October 16th, that Thanksgiving. Ate a full solid meal with my family. And that year when the Super Bowl came around, I started moving my shoulders, shimmy shaking a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just started grinding away, working hard, and, you know, my goal is to prove those doctors wrong. They saved my life. So I always give them credit for that, but I still one day want to prove them wrong and go back to MetLife Stadium and walk off that field.
Wow, wow. So how long were you playing football? You playing football your whole life?
It started when I was 5 years old with a game called Kill the Man with the Ball on the side of the house. And
hey.
In my neighborhood, we had two kids that were the same age as me, my boy Dougie. Uh-huh. And my boy Joey, and then there was this kid Charlie, uh-huh, who was 5 years older than us. And so, you know, he was bigger and stronger. He used to throw us around, but every now and then I would juke him, and I would score the touchdown, get to the fence, and yeah, that adrenaline rush when I was 4 or 5 years old. They said, "I want to play this sport, play football." Mm. And I signed up for flag football that year.
Wow, wow. So like, so now, you know, you were saying earlier, as we were talking before we went on the air, like, you know, you rely on your family a little bit more than you would like, you know, because of your situation. How's your family, you know, cope with the situation of helping you? How have they been?
Honestly, this situation has brought my family so much closer. You know, we would see each other for holidays, they would come to my games and whatnot, but we didn't hang out like we do every Sunday. You know, every Sunday, you know, my aunt, uncle, cousin, they come over after church, my sister and brother-in-law, and two nephews and my niece. They come over like every 2 weeks. Like, we only see each other now. Mm. And when they come, it's like they give my mom a break, and they take over if I need something, you know, if I need my eyes, if I need to eat something. It's like they take over and they do it. And during this time now, we got to be careful. You know, I got to see them a little bit. Since this has all went down in March 11th was like the left. When I shut everything down, I've seen them 3 times. So it's been rough, man.
Yeah, man. It's been tough for a lot of people, man. I always wonder, you know, seeing your story on Instagram and everything, and then you mentioned just now, like, you know, the doctor said that you may never walk again or, you know, or do any of the things that you were doing previously. You know, when you heard those words, man, like, what was going through your mind? What was, like, you know, happening at that time when you heard those words?
You know, I'm going to tell you the story, actually, what happened. So, so I was all out of it when I got to the hospital, you know. I just broke my neck. They gave me all these medications and stuff, so I was out of it. two doctors that pulled my mom into the room with my other teammate and his mom. And they said to my mom, your son is fractured at C3, C4 vertebrae. He'll be paralyzed from the neck down for the rest of his life. He'll never walk again. Never breathe on his own. Never eat solid foods. We'll hope he's strong enough to make it to the surgery. Mm-hmm. My teammate busted out the room screaming and cursing down the hallway. Mm-hmm. So his mom about to go console him. My mom, the other doctor, one doctor left to go get prepared for surgery. Another doctor started talking to her and giving her all these different percentages and whatnot. But at that time, my mom was trying to hear percentages. They let me see her before I went into surgery. And I don't know if it was from the adrenaline and what was going on from the game, but my mom said the first three words I said to her when I saw her was, I'll be back. Mm. Now, my mom heard that. She said, okay, whoever sees him from here on out, you got to go into that room with a positive mindset, laugh and joke around. Don't let him see you upset. So when people started to come in my room, I was all, you know, like, it was good to see her, catch up with people I haven't seen since high school and middle school. And then there was never any negativity. And I remember my mom said to me, let me know when you want to have that conversation about what happened. And I want to say 2 weeks went by and I finally said, hey, mom, what happened? And then she started telling me this. And I don't know if it was the athlete in me or just like that dog that grind. I was like, nah, I'm not going to accept it. I'm going to get better. I'm going to keep on praying. Yeah. I'm going to work hard. There's no way that's going to, you know, stop me. Look at all this love and all these people coming here to see me. Maybe take it on as a responsibility and say, you know what? I'm going to get better. I'm going to prove them wrong.
Wow, yo. So you pretty much had it in place that you're going to have a positive mindset no matter what, hands down. I don't want none of that negativity. You got that negativity. You got to put that stuff out of my life. You know what I mean? Because, you know, it's like you're already in the situation. You know what I'm saying? You don't want anybody trying to come and make the situation, you know, any worse at all. And it reminds me of, you know, even with me and my son, right? And my son, Christian, like he was born with Down syndrome, and then 14 months into his life, he developed leukemia. And immediately it was like positivity had to enter the room. Like if you had like a negative attitude, I don't care if he was a doctor, a nurse, a tech, or anybody like that. It was like, yo, don't come in here with that negative vibe, like at all. Cause my son, he needs that positivity right now. You know what I'm saying? Like for those that are in your situation, you know, right now that got those other people, you know, telling them that they can't, telling them that they won't. What do you say to encourage those folks?
Honestly, I tell them those are just naysayers that haven't formulated their own opinion on what they believe that's going to go on in your life. Don't ever let somebody be a naysayer that's going to tell you this and tell you that. Don't let them corrupt your mind with that. Mm. When you believe in something, you put that work in, you put the effort in, you have the faith, anything is truly possible. Use that as motivation. All odds against you. Mm. Back is against the wall. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? That's when you really learn about yourself. When people, that cliche say, you know, when they say, you never know how strong you are until you have to be strong. It's true. Mm-hmm. You're right there on a hospital bed with tubes coming out of you every which way, you know, not knowing where your life is going to take you. You're just on the top of the world playing Division I football. And now you've got AIDS. They got to turn you over. They got to wash you up and all this and that. A lot of bad stuff can come into your mind. But that positive attitude of people coming in there and not the negative people coming in there, honestly, it jump-started everything I needed in my life.
Wow, yo. Wow, man. So now you're a keynote speaker, motivational speaker. You know, what are some of the places that you've been and how have people been responding to your story?
You know, it's funny when I get to speak because I'm not your regular speaker. When you know you come on stage and you have your stories out, I'm a big, I used to have dreads still, used to have long dreads. So I'm a big, you know, African-American that's in this big wheelchair. I come rolling out on the stage. And most of the time people are just like, yo, like, what is he about to say to me now? Like, this ain't your normal guy that's going to be walking across the stage sharing. No. So most of the time people are captivated by just my whole chair and the whole situation, how I maneuver it and things like that. But then I start sharing my story. And when I talk, I like to talk to people. I make it sound like a conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm looking you in the eye. I'm looking all around at each person. I want to make you feel it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm touching their soul. And it's funny because I love when people say, Eric, you can hear a pin drop when you're talking. I take that as a compliment and make sure that you know that you're engaging and people are holding on to every word you say.
That's what's up, man. Yeah, man, because I I love, like, you know, to hear, you know, stories like yours. And honestly, really, it just drives me to do even more, to go even harder. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like maybe, you know, kind of like my story with Christian, God gave me Christian in our story, you know, to capture people's attention. Do you feel like, you know, God may have gave you that wheelchair to capture people's attention, to maybe change some lives in this world?
Absolutely. I always talk about purpose, like finding your purpose. What is your purpose? I truly believe that I was put in this situation to help people out, because when I was at Rutgers, I was in my own little bubble. I had practice, class, study hall, weightlifting, you know, and a little bit of a social life. That was it. I didn't know anything that was going on in the real world. There was no real world. That was my world. That was it. When I got hurt, I get to the, you know, my rehab center at Kessler in West Orange, New Jersey. I'm like, oh, there's actually a life outside of here. I'm learning about people's injuries, where they come from, different walks of life, or people from CEOs of companies all the way down to gang members. And I'm just like, yo, there's like real stuff like that's actually going on besides Rutgers football.
Right.
And you hear about these stories and they don't have the same support that I had. Mm-hmm. And it motivates me saying, you know what? I got to do something. I got to use my platform to help the less fortunate. And there's 5.6 million people in this world. And I feel like I was put here to help find a cure for paralysis one day so we can have a world with empty wheelchairs.
Wow, wow. Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, what, you know, like, where did the motivation to come and speak to people come from, you know? And you kind of just answered it just now. But you say you want to find a cure for paralysis. Is this, like, the same thing that that Christopher Reeves went through as well, too?
I'm glad you brought up Christopher Reeves, because he's one of my main motivations. And then I was able to partner my foundation with his. And when Christopher Reeve got hurt in the 90s, crazy, because I didn't know who he was. My mom almost killed him, because I was born in 1990. I didn't know who he was.
You ain't no Superman.
Yeah. So my mom was like, what? Like, you know, when I first started working with him. But his goal was to find a cure, and unfortunately, he passed away in 2004 or 2005, and kind of a shadow kind of went over the spinal cord injury community. When I got hurt, it got highlighted again, you know, being all over TV, being at the ESPYs, people hearing about spinal cord injuries again. It kind of showed me, like, you know, this is why you're here. You brought that light back to spinal cord injury.
So
it's awareness.
So when did you guys start the foundation?
Well, yeah, we launched in the fall of 2013. You know, I'm proud to say we've raised over $1.5 million for spinal
cord
injury research, and we're continuing to grind away through that, and we're doing so many different events and whatnot. We got big things planned, because I don't want that shadow to ever come back, you know, across this.
So how can people get involved? How can people, like, get involved into the foundation?
You can go to my foundation's website, teamlegrand.org. We're actually in the middle of planning a 5K virtually. This year is my 10-year anniversary, so we wanted to have a big party like we have every year at Rutgers. We always have a DJ, we're going to have a live band and fireworks. So now with COVID-19, we're going to do it virtually. And we're actually, my number was 52 at Rutgers. So we want all 52 states in America to be involved. So one person in each state to participate. So people can go to ChristopherReeve.org/AWTB, which stands for A Walk to Believe, and sign up and register. And we're hoping to get full participation to every state in this country, and just make it special, because just chronic injuries, they don't discriminate. It can happen to anybody.
And
we just want to raise awareness around that.
Facts, yo, facts. Well, listen, man, you definitely can have, like, I'm in there, dog. I'm in there. So count me in. You know what I'm saying? The dancing dad going to be up in that joint.
I appreciate that, man. That means a lot to me. It really does.
Facts, man, facts. But I wanted to ask you this, man. Like, you just got, like, so much, you know, will and determination. Where does your will and determination come from? Does it come from your mom's?
My mom was, so I grew up in a single parent household. My dad lived in the town over from me. And I always say, I had a relationship with my dad. You know, he was, if I needed something, he was there. You know, he was at all my games and whatnot. But my mom raised me. My mom raised me. She turned me into the person that I am. She was always on me, you know, making sure I was doing the right thing, doing my homework. I was an outside kid. I loved to be outside. I was playing in the streets. That was just me. But my mom always made sure I was doing the right thing, wasn't getting in trouble. And if I committed to something, she made sure I always saw it through. Funny story I want to tell you. When I was 10 years old, I was playing popcorn football. Had the same routine every day. I would go to school, come home, do my homework, and then run to the park, play with my friends, and then go to practice. Well, one day, I was feeling myself. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, I was the best player.
I was the best player on the team. I'm like, you know what? I ain't gonna go to practice today. I'm gonna just show up on Saturday for game day. And my routine, came home, did my homework, went to the park. My mom comes after work, says, "Eric, I'm going to practice." I said, "Mom, I ain't going to practice today." She said, "What you mean?" I'm like, "I'm going to show up on game day." Yeah, let's just say that didn't go over too well for me. She came into the park, embarrassed me in front of all my friends, grabbed me by my arm, dragged me, threw me into the car. Said, "I don't know who you think you are. Just because you're the best on the team, you know, you got to show up. Mm. I don't care how good the team is doing, how bad the team is doing. If you commit to something, you see it through." Mm. Yeah, man. 19 years old, it's only 9 years old. And I still remember that lesson of commitment.
Wow.
And that's why I drive, I believe.
Wow, man. Yeah, man. You know, it sounds a lot like my mother, man. Like, it's just some about them black moms, man. They know, they snatch us up real quick. They don't care where you at. You could be in ShopRite. Like, yo, it's going down. Like, you better watch it. You better watch it.
I used to get it, man. I used to act up, and I used to think I was the man in the house. Boy, she used to put me in my place.
Man, I remember my mom. One time I was playing basketball and I was starting on the junior high basketball team, and I was supposed to be, my curfew was supposed to be 7 o'clock, be in the crib because I had a game the next day. Well, I wanted to go out and everything, and I was chilling with my homies, and then I was chilling with some girl, you know, and you know, it was just like, yo, we was just hanging out around the corner. I was supposed to be in the crib, but I was out, you know, hanging out. You know, and it was a girl, and it was like, I'm thinking like I'm the man and everything. And I get in the house, 7:45. Yo, mom's, you know, the next day, you know, went to my coach, was like, yo, he ain't playing. And my mom suspended me for 2 games, and I lost my starting spot. I was like, never again.
Oh.
Never again.
Wow. And,
I was tight.
Black moms are built different now, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, facts, man. But not just black moms. Just shout out to all moms that take care of their kids, man. You know what I'm saying? That really, like, you know, hold it down and don't take no nonsense and don't take no mess, because this generation needs that tough love. You know, especially this generation and what we going through right now. And I wanted to ask you, like, you know, mentally, how do people, you know, get through this COVID-19. Actually, you know what? Let me shape the question for you a little bit better, you know? And I want to make it general for the entire world, right? Because we speaking to everybody. And if you guys don't know, we're speaking to Eric LeGrand right now, you know, former D1 player of Rutgers. You know what I'm saying? This man has gone through so much and is inspiring over the world. So listen, if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you go ahead and hit the like button. Make sure you share this with your mama, your daddy, your uncle, your auntie, your grandma, your grandpa, your aunt, your uncle, your stepdaughter, your stepdad, your stepsister, your stepcousin. I don't care who it is. You share it with somebody, your cat, your dog, your chameleon, your snake. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Share it with somebody, you know, because we dropping some bombs right here. Now, let me shape the question for you, right? I ask everybody that comes on a podcast, okay, if Eric LeGrand right now had every ear in the world, all 7.5 billion people that are listening right now to you, only you, right? In the state that we're in right now, as far as this global pandemic goes, what encouraging words would you say to them?
First thing I would say is, no matter if you're rich, poor, black, white, whatever, you know, whatever background you come from, we are all going to deal with some sort of adversity in our life. Well, some of it may be harder than others. Some may have to overcome a lot more than others. But somehow, some way, we're all going to deal with some type of adversity. When that adversity comes, it's how you handle it that's ultimately going to define you. Are you going to let it bottle you up? Are you going to let it create those negative thoughts? Are you going to let it run through your mind and think of all the bad things that you have in your life? Or are you going to look at the situation and say, you know what? This is what's in front of me. This is the task at hand. What am I going to do to overcome this situation? How am I going to reflect on the good things I have in my life and help that propel me to the future on what I want to do? Work on something that I never had time to work on. Bring some energy, to helping other people through this situation. What are the things that I can do in order to get through this adversity and come out a better person when we get through this pandemic? Not the negative side. There's two sides. Either you're going to think positive or you're going to think negative. We're all human beings. So we're going to have something to complain about. We're all human. But how you handle this adversity is ultimately going to define you, your future, and the legacy you leave.
Boy, you better preach. You better preach. I'm about to drop something in the bucket right there for you real quick. About to drop something in the bucket. You know what I mean? Somebody go ahead and pass the collection plate, y'all. Word up, man. Word up, yo. Hey, man, this is the Clutch Vision Podcast, man. We have fun on here. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, yo, I appreciate that so much. Yeah, man, you know, it's amazing how, you know, people have to understand that when I said this a couple weeks ago. I said, turn your panic into praise. You know what I'm saying? Turn your panic into praise, because many people in life, they panic so quickly when bad things happen or when they're faced with any type of adversity. It's just all about turning your panic into praise, guys. You know, and when I say praise, I mean, go ahead and praise God, yo. You know what I'm saying? Like, lift your hands up and just praise God that you even got another day. You know what I'm saying? My man here has a spinal cord injury, and he's getting his days in still. He's still getting his days in. So there ain't no excuse. You know, if he's out here pushing, grinding, and shaping the world and motivating people to just do better, you know, apply what he's saying. Apply where it's coming from, because this man is going through it. Y'all seeing it right in y'all face, or you listening right in your ear. It's not a game. I'd rather listen to him than listen to somebody that ain't ever been through nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's all I mean, you know? Now, I want to switch gears a little bit real quick here, man. You know, I hear that are you a wrestling fan?
Yeah, growing up, I was a big wrestling fan. So not as much anymore, but growing up, boy,
yeah.
I remember trying to watch pay-per-views through, you know, the static TV.
Yeah.
You see, you can see your arm real quick. Oh, yeah, you know, that type of stuff. So, yeah, growing up as a kid, diehard wrestling fan.
Yeah, man, as a kid, I was I'm not into it too much more, you know, right now. But, like, growing up, man, I had, like, Ric Flair, Ultimate Warrior, you know what I'm saying, Stone Cold, The Rock, like, yeah, those are my – Triple H is my favorite. That's at the top of my list.
You know? Oh, so, you like the heel Triple H.
Man, that's my dude, you know what I'm saying? He kept it funky, man. Yeah, who's your favorite wrestler back in the day?
So I had three guys. The Rock will be always my favorite one, because the people's champ, the way that he could grab a mic –
yeah.
And captivate a crowd, just like every single time he got on that mic, you were listening to every word he said because you knew it was going to be something funny or whatever diss he was doing. It was perfect. Love the Rock and his antics. Two, Stone Cold.
Yeah, it's my
Stone
dude.
Cold just came in the, you hear that? You know, he was coming out talking that junk, ready to go. He just got in the ring and he just, you know, he tore everybody up. Number three, a lot of people laugh at this one. Kane. I was that big, tall kid growing up, and I remember the first person I ever seen step over the rope was Kane. And when he would come in the ring, he would light that fire, and everyone was always terrified of him. And I was kind of like that big kid where everyone was always like kind of scared of me like that. I said, that's my dude, right? He didn't say nothing. He didn't really talk. He just came in there and tore dudes up. That's why I loved him.
Yo, Kane was that dude, man. And you know, I just actually peeped Undertaker's Last Ride, his documentary, which is amazing, by the way. You know, whether you're a wrestling fan or not, you know, I would definitely suggest go ahead and subscribe to watch that documentary. To me, I look at Taker as like the MJ of wrestling in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was one of the greatest to ever do it. Just because of the character that you have to commit to in order, like, every night in nailing it every single night, man. Like, that takes some skill, man.
And that's the thing. As we get older now, we look at the person and what it actually takes to be. You know, as a kid, you're just so, you know, enamored with who they are as a superstar. You don't think about their life, you know, once they go behind the stage. Now, like you said, what it takes to be that person, what it takes to live that life. Right. And the commitment that it takes to be on the road all the time, away from your family, doing that. And Taker's been doing it for years upon years upon years at an elite level.
Right. To my respect. And that's what I'm saying, like the commitment, you know, like a lot of people nowadays, you know, we're not committed enough to the process. And you're saying that one day that you're going to get back and you're saying, I'm going to be back, you know, in committing to the process. How important is it to people to commit to the process in finishing the job?
The process is when you learn the most about yourself, not when you're all comfortable and everything is going well and you're living life and smiling. When things are hard, when you don't want to do something and you got all odds against you, that's the process, the grind. The answer to when I don't know when I will walk again, not knowing the future, it's not like I can say on June 25th of 2022, I'm going to walk again. No, I don't know, but I'm committed to the process of controlling everything that I can control, making sure I'm doing everything that I can do, and leaving everything else in God's hands. Mm. And that's the hardest part, because some days you'll get up and you gotta be like, Dad, I gotta go through this 2-hour routine with my nurses. Right. Then I gotta get up, I gotta do therapy, then I gotta get on my phone and answer emails. Sometimes you just don't wanna do it, but best believe I ain't saying that in that bed. Mm. I get up and I say, I have to do this. This is something I have to do. And I look at so many people that would love to be in my situation. It's crazy to say that. But I know so many people would be loved to sit in my chair. My shoes right now.
Wow. Dude, man, that's so inspiring, man. Like, you got me turned up at 10:08 at night, man, ready to go in, dog. Dang, yo. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even want to go to sleep, man. Make me want to go ahead and do some push-ups or something. Straight up, yo. Yo, that's crazy. So, listen, man, like, thank you for coming on, man. I got to invite you back on. But before we go, right, I want to play a game with you. You down?
Let's roll, man.
All right, cool. So the game is called In the Clutch. I'm Kenny Clutch, and it's gonna go like this. So I created a company called In the Clutch Dance Crew back in 2009. In the Clutch is actually an acronym, and INDACLUTCH, Inspirational Dancers Creatively Linking Upon the Culture of Hip Hop.
Okay.
Got it. All right. Okay. So what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna give you a letter, and then you give me a positive word after that letter. Cool?
Okay, yeah.
All right. It's kind of like rapid fire. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
C.
Courage.
L.
Legacy.
U.
Unanimous.
T.
Tremendous.
C.
Clutch.
H.
Heroic.
That's clutch, y'all. In the clutch with my man Eric LeGrand. Hey. Yo, man. We appreciate you, brother. Where can the people find you at, man?
You can go on my Instagram and Twitter at Eric LeGrand 52. That's ERICLEGRAND52. My Facebook, just regular Eric LeGrand. YouTube channel, Eric LeGrand 52. My foundation is Team LeGrand. That's TEAMLEGRAND. And you can go to my website, ericlegrand52.com, and that's where you can find me, my people.
That's what's up, man. Everything will be in the description below, guys. If you guys are watching this on YouTube, make sure you guys go ahead and follow my man, Eric LeGrand. Make sure you guys go ahead and share, like, comment, subscribe to the Clutch Vision Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe to Kenny Clutch Speaks on YouTube. Go ahead and click that bell and hit that like button one more time for me. You know what I'm saying? So make sure you share this with your mama, your daddy, your uncle, your auntie, your grandma, your granddad, your grandson, your granddaughter. I don't care who it is. Share it with your teacher, your professor. Share it with the lady at the grocery store. Share it with somebody that's essential right now. You know what I'm saying? With the firemen, the policemen, somebody. I don't care. Make sure you share this podcast with somebody. Make sure that they listen to all the gems that's being dropped every single week right here in the Clutch Vision Podcast. It's your boy, Kenny Clutch. And like we say every night that we end this, when we change the mind, we change the game. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow will worry about itself. And today is all we have. It's your boy, Kenny Clutch, from the Clutch Vision Podcast. See y'all later. Peace.